Welcome to the Howie Silbiger Show on the True Talk Radio Network. Get in on the conversation. Call 1-877-669-1292.
And what an insane couple of days it's been in both the United States and in Israel. It has been absolutely insane politically. It's been insane when you think about a political assassination attempt. It's been insane when you think about an Israeli newspaper publishing an article claiming that Israel committed the genocide on October 7th. It is absolutely, unbelievably insane. Let's start with October 7th, because I think that is on the minds of a lot of people. Haaretz, the least read, smallest newspaper in Israel, has decided to, once again, write articles that are damaging to the state. This is what they do for a living. This is how they've survived for so many years. They publish articles which are damaging, which feed Jew haters and Israel haters around the world. And the latest article that has made waves across the nation and across the world was an article about the Hannibal Directive. Now, it's not the first time we've heard about the Hannibal Directive. This directive has been around for over a decade. And essentially, the directive says, the protocol says, that if an Israeli soldier is being taken hostage, the other soldiers are required to open fire at the hostage takers and try to eliminate the hostage takers to save the Israeli soldier. And they are ordered to open fire even if it puts the Israeli soldiers that are being taken hostage at risk. So even if you have the chance of shooting your own people, it is better to shoot your own people than allow them to be taken hostage. That is the philosophy behind it. It makes perfect sense, knowing that when Israeli soldiers and civilians are taken hostage, they are raped, they are tortured, and eventually they are murdered. We know this from history, we know this from experience, and the Israeli army had decided that they don't want any more of their soldiers raped, murdered, or held hostage. And so the only way to stop that is to stop the terrorists as they're taking them. So if you happen upon a terrorist taking an Israeli soldier, you are to open fire, even if it requires you to shoot through the Israeli soldier. It is unfathomable that an army has to come to that conclusion, that an army has to get to the point where they have to decide that sacrificing their own people, sacrificing their own soldiers, is better than allowing their soldiers to be taken hostage by the monsters that grab Jews and Israelis and hold them hostage in Gaza or in other parts of the Arab world. It is shockingly horrific to think that this is the only way to stop this kind of attacks, to stop this kind of missions. And of course, the lefties grabbed onto this and said, oh, the Hannibal objective. Oh, we forgot about that. Although Haaretz reported on it in 2009, 2011, 2015, 2019, suddenly it's become a huge deal. And this is all the lefties are saying when it comes to October 7th. Now, their whole argument is that Hamas did not commit the genocide on October 7th. Israel committed the genocide against their own people using the Hannibal Directive. It is a ludicrous argument. Granted, it is a horrifically ludicrous argument, but that's the argument that's being made across North America. That's the argument that's made across Europe. If you watch the news talk shows, the political talk shows, the interview shows, you will see that all the anti-Israel advocates, all the bobbling heads, the talking heads that are anti-Israel, are all making the claim that Israel used the Hannibal Directive and killed most of the people on October 7th. Haaretz published a story about one family who Israel opened fire on their home and ended up killing the family. The Israeli army admitted that that happened and said they were investigating to see if it was in line with their protocols. That doesn't mean that Israel murdered all the Jews on October 7th. That doesn't mean that Israel was responsible for the genocidal attack by Hamas on October 7th. It is completely ludicrous to even suggest that Israel is. Yet there are people online who are suggesting that. That is, this was an inside job, this was a setup. But that's normal. Anytime anything happens that's a little out of the ordinary, anytime anything happens that is contrary or makes the other people look bad, makes the other side look bad, they will always try to flip it around and blame it on the other side. That's just the way politics works. It's an unfortunate side effect of the stupidity of politics. In fact, you're seeing that now. There was an attempted assassination on Donald Trump, former President Donald Trump, as he was giving a speech at a rally while he's running for president. A guy got on a roof and shot at him. An assassination attempt. A failure of security in the area. The Secret Service failed at their jobs. The local police failed at their jobs. It was a complete failure of security that a guy with a gun could climb to the top of a building and take a shot at the candidate. Is a complete failure of security. Now, instead of looking at it as a failure of security, and thank God Donald Trump wasn't killed, not because I support Donald Trump, but because I feel that everybody should have a right to express their opinion without the threat of losing their lives for expressing their opinion. Everybody should have a right to stand up and say what they please without the threat of physical violence against them. It is absolutely condemnable when physical violence is used against people for expressing an opinion, for being a politician, for expressing an opinion, a political opinion, which opposes somebody else's political opinion. You know, we're all in right. We all have a right to our opinion. We all have a right to think the way we do. We all have a right to express our opinions. Unless, of course, you're on TikTok. There, you don't have a right to express your opinion. There, if you express an opinion that TikTok doesn't believe in, they will ban your video and give you a strike, as they did to me twice last week. That's fine. They could strike me as many times as they want. They could throw me off their platform. I really just don't care. The idea that you can't express your opinion because it might offend somebody else is ludicrous to me. I'm here sitting on this show right now, and I'm talking to you. If you do not like what I am saying, or you do not agree with what I'm saying, and it is bothering you, and you're like, whoa, I don't really don't like this guy, you have the option to click on the X right on top of the screen, or you have the option to click on, turn off the app if you're listening on the True Talk Radio Network or on Israel News Talk Radio. You could just click the app off, just turn me off. That is your prerogative. You could do that. That is absolutely your prerogative. But to demand that I can't say what I think and to demand that I can't be who I am, that is ludicrous to me. I'm not here to be your friend. I'm here to give you some information. I'm here to give you my point of view. Now, if you don't like my point of view, that's fine with me. Doesn't bother me in the least bit. Just turn me off. But to ban me or to pull my videos down because you don't like something I said? Ludicrous. And it's the same level of hypocrisy, same level of idiocy as the people who are claiming that Israel committed the attacks on October 7th. It's the exact same level of idiocy. You get to a certain point where stupidity turns into idiocy, and we're there. This is where we're at. I've been reading Donald Trump, the assassination attempt on Donald Trump the other day. I've been reading commentary after commentary and comment after comment on social media. As people are insisting that it was an inside job, that Donald Trump just wanted the publicity, so he had somebody shoot him. And this is actually the conspiracy theories that are being distributed today. That Donald Trump felt that he was somehow losing the election. I don't know how he would feel that way. He's running against a corpse. But either way, he felt that he was losing the election, and therefore he hired a guy to go onto a roof and shoot him. What kind of crazy, stupid, idiotic conspiracy theory is that? But that's the one that's being perpetrated right across social media. Watch TikTok, go to Instagram. That's what they're talking about. It's crazy. But it is actually crazy. It's actually insane and actually totally unacceptable in any democracy that a politician should be attacked based on their political ideology. If you're living in a Western country, then, and you believe in democracy, you believe in freedom of speech, and you believe in the rights of people to support or not support a politician based on their freedom of speech. You know, we are lucky in certain countries that we are allowed to vote for our leadership. Many countries you can't. Dictators take over, they take over by force, and you are forced to follow whatever the policies of those dictators are. So there are countries in the world where you have no choice. But living in Western society, living in Western countries, you are lucky that you have the right to pick and choose who is your leadership. And with that luck, with that privilege, it's not a right, it's a privilege. So with that privilege comes a responsibility to accept the fact that not every leader that gets up, not every person that gets up, not everyone that's going to speak is going to resonate with you. You are not going to like everything everybody says. You are not going to enjoy, or you're not going to agree with everything everyone says. And that is perfectly normal, and that should be an accepted fact. It should be accepted that sometimes a politician will get up and come across some kind of policy that you don't like. You have a right to criticize that politician. You do not have a right to attack physically that politician. You don't have the right to walk up to a politician and throw paint on him, or walk up to a politician and punch them in the face. You have no right to do that. The most you have the right to do is not put a check mark next to that politician's name on a ballot box, on a ballot that goes into a ballot box. That's your right. You have a right not to vote for that person. That is your inherent right. That's the only right you have. Trying to murder the person, advocating for the murder of the person because you disagree with them politically is a crime. It should be a crime, and you should go to jail for that. There should be no even question. There shouldn't even be a question. You should just go straight to jail. I believe a trial is in order, but I mean, if it's obvious that you've been posting for weeks and weeks and weeks that a politician is a threat to democracy and should have a bullseye. Oh, wait, the president of the United States said that about his political opponent. This is totally unacceptable talk. And this leads to situations like the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. It is absolutely unacceptable in any democracy anywhere in the world. It's unacceptable that a political leader should be attacked in the way that Donald Trump was attacked, should be shot, should be attempted to be killed. Totally unacceptable. And we should all be condemning it universally, and we are. Another thing that should be condemned universally is Jew hatred. Now, I posted up a video on TikTok, the one that got ripped down. I posted up a video on TikTok, which explained that many of the people who are standing on the streets and protesting in favor of Palestine are, in fact, supporting Hamas. Openly supporting Hamas. Some of them are yelling, "We are Hamas." And the Hamas's first order in their charter, the first clause in their charter, calls for the elimination of the Jewish population across the world. So not only are these people yelling, "We are Hamas," but they are advocating for the genocide of the Jewish people across North America or across the world. In North America, you're seeing it escalate. You're seeing the people trying to follow the philosophy of Hamas by attacking synagogues and schools and other Jewish institutions. When they're running through the streets yelling globalized intifada, this is exactly what they mean. They mean that we want to indiscriminately attack Jews and we want to finish the job that Hamas has started on October 7th. We want to finish it everywhere else. We want to continue the attack on the Jewish community, and we want to be able to yell and scream in the street that we did this in the name of liberating a country that never existed. This is what you wanted. This is what they want. And as much as they want to disagree, and as much as they want to argue that that's not the point, and you could read, you know, you go to my TikTok account, you can read all the comments, all the hatred that spewed at me on TikTok. It's absolutely hilarious. And you could read all the comments of them denying the fact that they hate Jews. But at the end of the day, what is the purpose of attacking a Jewish institution in North America or in France or in Spain? What is the purpose of attacking a Jewish institution anywhere in the world? How's that going to liberate any country? How's that going to stop an occupation that you claim is happening? I'm very confused by that. I've asked people to explain it, but instead of explaining it, they just report my videos and have me yanked off social media. That's fine. Okay. Because they have no way to explain it. Because there is no explanation for it. Because it is totally false. And as long as we accept the fact that it's false, and we realize the fact that it's false, and we realize the fact that they're going to try to deflect. Anytime I say anything, there's always going to be a deflection. Oh, you're playing the victim, they say to me. Yes, I am playing the victim. Yes. Yes, I'm playing the victim because I am the victim. Because 1,200 of my people were killed, murdered, raped, burned alive on October 7th. Yes, I'm playing the victim because many children, men, women, Holocaust survivors, were taken hostage on October 7th. Yes, I'm playing the victim because before October 7th, thousands of bombs were thrown by Hamas, were launched by Hamas from Gaza into southern Israel, indiscriminately targeting innocent men, women, and children living in southern towns. Yes, I am playing the victim because before the rockets started flying into southern Israel, terrorists were coming over the border and murdering Jews in the streets of Israel. And yes, I am playing the victim because before we built the security fence, terrorism was up over 90%. There were 90% more terrorist attacks in Israel before the security fence. So separating the Jews from the terrorists was a very good idea. So you could call me an apartheid supporter. You could call me a genocidal maniac for supporting the state of Israel. You call me whatever you want. But I believe that the truth prevails at the end of the day. And propaganda just has to disappear because the truth has to prevail. And the truth is that Israel is in the right, Hamas is in the wrong, and the world will be better off when Israel eliminates all of Hamas. That is the truth. Now, if you can't accept that truth, that's fine. You have the right and you are entitled to your opinion. I will never stop you from expressing it. You can express your opinion all you want. But that's the truth. Now, the sad thing is that there are many Jewish organizations and institutions that don't believe in the inherent right of Israel to defend herself, in the inherent right of Israel to be the Jewish state. They don't believe that Jews are safe in Israel. There are trips sponsored by Federation across North America that have diverted their trips to Israel, their summer trips to Israel, to other countries like Spain. So there's one particular organization, I'm not going to name them because that would not be right, but there's one particular organization that decided instead of taking their kids to Israel, which was the traditional place that they took their students after this big leadership program that they ran all year, telling kids that Israel is the Jewish homeland and we should be proud of the Israel, proud of being Jewish, proud of the Israeli homeland. And then they decided to not take the kids to Israel, but they took them to Spain instead. Now, let me remind you that a couple of months ago, Spain recognized the state of Palestine. So now the kids are in Spain over the summer. And they're told that if they leave their hotel, they should remove anything that's identifiably Jewish. They should not be wearing anything that anybody could say that is Jewish to avoid being attacked in the streets of Spain. You heard me right. A Jewish leadership organization run by a federation, run by a United Federation in North America, took kids to Spain instead of Israel and told the kids, when we go outside, don't show anything that's Jewish. Don't act Jewish. Don't look Jewish. Don't do anything that's Jewish. Those are some great leadership skills they're teaching those kids. Great skills on how to be pro-Israel. Great skills on how to support their own country. It's unbelievable. But this is what's happening. The chief rabbi of France made a statement a couple of weeks ago saying that there is no future for Jews in France and the Jews in France should start getting out. It is a scary situation. And we're starting to see that situation rise everywhere across the world. It's not only France. It's not only Spain. Jews are being attacked across North America. Jews are being attacked in Europe. Jews are being attacked in Asia, in Australia. Anywhere you look, and you don't have to look very hard, you find report after report of Jews being attacked in the streets, of Jewish institutions being attacked, Jewish schools being shot at, synagogues being bombed. It is a sign. It is a sign that we should recognize. It is a sign that we should be heeding to. We can't ignore it anymore. And I'm telling you, in the 1920s, in the late 1920s, early 1930s, Vladimir Jabotinsky ran around Europe screaming at Jewish congregations, going into synagogues and screaming at Jewish congregations, "Get out now before it's too late." He saw the writing on the wall. He saw that Jews were going to be the target of the new regime that was coming in, and he wanted to save as many Jews as he could. And he ran around yelling and screaming that Jews should leave Europe immediately. And he was laughed at. The argument that was made was that, you know, politicians come and go. The Jewish community has been here for thousands of years. What should change now? But when they start attacking Jews on the street, when the chief rabbi says there's no future for Jews in your country, time to get out. When a Jewish trip can decide that going to Spain is safer than going to Israel, we know that it's time for Jews to go home. We know that our leadership in North America, that trip came from North America, so the leadership in North America is really not there to promote Judaism, Jewish values, and support for the Jewish state. We know right away that there is an issue, a problem, with leadership right across North America. We know there's a problem with leadership, Jewish leadership, in Europe. And it's time to recognize that we cannot follow as a community, as a Jewish community, you cannot follow your leadership. You have to look around and you have to make a decision on your own. You can't follow your rabbis. You can't follow your federations. You can't follow your B'nai B'ris and your Anti-Defamation Leagues. You got to remember that they are there for a purpose, and their purpose is to keep you put and take your money, as much of it as they can. That's their purpose. Protecting Jews is secondary because they feel that they're assimilated already and they're part of society. The last people who felt that way in Germany went to the gas chambers anyway. But that's fine. If you want to sacrifice yourself to the altar of hedonism that has taken over most of the world, if you want to sacrifice yourself to the altar of secularism, that is your prerogative. You could do that. But you do have a choice. There is an option, and it's an option that should be explored by the majority of people. You should be, majority of Jews at least, you should be exploring the option to leave and to move to Israel. At least live in a country where you're being protected by your own people. Where you don't have to worry too much about being attacked in the streets by mobs of Jew-hating people pretending to be something else. When you see the Jew hatred that has risen, and you keep looking at, look at these organizations. I know they inflate the numbers because it brings them more money. But if you look at the organizations that are reporting this, that Jew hatred is up 50, 60, 70% in certain areas of the world. You have to wonder, why is that happening? Is it happening because Israel's at war with Gaza? No, that Jew hatred's been there all along. It's just bubbling to the surface now because it's trendy to be hated, to hate Jews. So when it becomes trendy to hate Jews, it bubbles to the top. And now we realize that it's trendy to hate Jews. That's when it becomes dangerous. Because that means that it's your neighbors, it's your friends, it's your teachers, it's your professors. When I look at these encampments that were on university campuses across North America to support liberating Gaza, I can't help but notice that in all of these encampments, they had professors that teach at these universities that had come down to support these encampments. They came down to live in the encampments. They came down to lecture at the encampments. They came down to be there and to be heard and to be seen. And I started thinking, and I know I mentioned this in a previous show, but I will continue to pound away at this point because it's a very important point. I can't help but think, why are they still employed by these universities? I can't help but think, how could a Jewish student who goes to one of the courses, who takes a course with one of these professors, get a fair shake? How could a Jewish student pass a course with one of these professors? How could that be possible? How could they even be treated nicely by a professor who spent the entire summer, or a good portion of the summer at least, chanting, "Globalize the Intifada"? Globalizing the Intifada means that he's going to take the Intifada and he's going to globalize it in his classroom. If that's what he wants, or she wants, that's what they're going to do in the classroom. So how could we guarantee that students at universities are not going to be persecuted by these professors that had expressed their undying love and affection and loyalty to Hamas? Could someone, I need somebody to explain this to me because I don't understand it. I don't understand why disciplinary action wasn't taken against these faculty members. And if it is because they have tenure, or because the university believes that everyone has the right to express their own opinion, which they do, and I agree with that, but there has to be a limit. And you see, this is where people can say, "Oh, Howie, you're being hypocritical." But I'm not being hypocritical, because I believe there has to be a limit for everybody. I don't believe that there should be the expression of hate speech, the support of genocidal dictators by faculties of teaching institutions. When you take the job of a teacher or a professor, teacher, it's all the same. When you take the job and you take the responsibility of educating the next generation of students, those students should not know where you stand politically. And if you teach a political science course or you teach a course on socialization or whatever else, your politics, your personal politics should not enter the classroom. Because when you have your personal politics enter the classroom, you're corrupting a generation of students. You're corrupting them. You are indoctrinating them into your philosophy rather than allowing them to make up their own mind and to do the research and to look at both sides and decide which side they want to sit on. And that is a crime. That is criminal. And so professors who attended these encampments and were yelling out in support of Hamas, these people should be fired immediately. They should not be allowed to walk in front of a classroom again. And I don't care how much tenure they have, and I don't care how long they've been at these prestigious universities. Universities that have allowed these encampments to fester on their campus for months and months and months should be looking at every single student and every single faculty member that was on the campus, that was there at this encampment. And there's plenty of video. They have security videos. They could look and they could figure it out. And they should expel every student that was there, and they should fire every faculty member that was there. Integrity should be the paramount thing that these universities are looking for. And how do you have integrity when you have a faculty member who went on the news and said, "We support the encampment and we support everything they're doing," and right behind him on the news, and I saw this, right behind him on the news is a sign that says, "We are Hamas." How could that teacher ever have integrity again? And how could a university allow that teacher to continue to teach young, impressionable minds? It is absolutely unacceptable. And it's an absolute disaster for universities. And it's time for them to scale it back. It's time for them to walk it back and to realize that their institutions have become festering nests of hatred and misinformation, smoldering cauldrons of radicalism. And they could pull it back. They could change that. They just have to put an effort into it. They have to have the balls, excuse the expression, to do something concrete about it. Because failing to do anything concrete about it means that we are condemning generation after generation of students who go to these institutions into lives of radicalism, craziness. And if you want them to have good jobs and you want them to survive, you want your children to survive and have good jobs in the world, they can't be running around in a mask yelling globalized intifada. They can't be yelling, we are Hamas, I am Hamas. Because any employer that's going to look at that and find this video, and these videos are easy to find, will say, why would I want this person working for me? And it's a great question. I wouldn't want somebody working for me if they were yelling for the globalization of the intifada. It's just mind-boggling that parents haven't stopped their children from doing this, and it's mind-boggling that universities haven't stopped their teachers from doing this. It's just mind-boggling to me. As I get to the end of the show, I just want to double back. I just want to go back to political assassinations, because that's how we started the show, and that's how I want to end the show. I believe that if you don't like a politician, the only way to get rid of them is to vote them out of office. I believe that a political assassination or attempted assassination of any politician, regardless of who they are, and I know some people are going to say, Howie, what about Hitler? Would you kill Hitler? Okay, let me be extremely clear so that we understand that we're all on the same page. I believe that political assassinations from normal politicians who express a point of view that is acceptable within the realms of the political spectrum should be allowed to express their opinions. Now, if it is a radical politician that is advocating for the murder, the rape, the torture, or the humiliation of a certain group of people living within their society, then different rules apply to those kind of people. Because radicals can't be considered politicians, they're dictators. And dictators fall under different rules. So if you live in a democratic society where two politicians are running against each other, most of their platforms are identical, with the exception of one wants to limit immigration and one wants to increase immigration or something to that effect, then that is legitimate political debate. And that is legitimate political point of view from both sides. And that is totally acceptable. If one side is saying kill the Jews or kill the blacks or kill the Arabs, then that is a totally radical point of view. That is a not acceptable political talk. So we have to understand there's acceptable political talk and unacceptable political talk. Now, could we assassinate somebody who's advocating for the murder of other people? Somebody who's advocating for the destruction of life? That's debatable. That's actually debatable. Moralistically, it's debatable. But right now, that's not what we're talking about. Right now, the attempted assassination of Donald Trump was a result directly of the villainization of Donald Trump, which has been happening since 2016. The rhetoric that's been used to describe Donald Trump by both the media and Democratic politicians, is a direct result of that. Just last week, on Monday, President Joe Biden, he's the president of the United States, said that we had to put a bullseye on Donald Trump. And then on Saturday, Donald Trump was shot. This kind of speech, this kind of advocacy to harm somebody is extremely unacceptable. And I'm sorry it is. And as much as you hate Donald Trump, and I really couldn't care less if you love him or hate him, it's totally irrelevant. The fact is, he's a politician. The fact is that he is not a crazy radical politician. He is a politician that pretty much toes the party line. And to advocate for his murder or for his destruction, political destruction, okay, but his murder or harming him in any way is totally outside of any of the of the protocols of normal human life. And those of you that are supporting it on Facebook and on Twitter and on X and on Instagram and on TikTok, those of you that are celebrating the fact that somebody tried to kill Donald Trump, shame on you. Shame on you. I mean, that's all I have to say, really. I want to thank you so much for joining me. I will see you again next show. I'm Howie Silberger. See you again next show.